Judy was asking me to bring this before the church for your prayers. Her niece and husband are on a mission trip to Africa and desire the prayers of this church very much. And I want you, if you will, just for a few minutes, very quickly in the book of Psalms 142. It's got a verse here that really is shocking to think about. It shocks us to think about this very much, to make this statement. In verse number 4 of Psalms 142, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I want to look at that and think just a few minutes about what a sad statement that is. And to have that thought ever come into our being, but it does. Now, we're every one of us in here just alike. We're humans. Every one of us are going through the same world. You're not in a world of your own and an atmosphere of your own. We're all bumping into the same things and trying to go around pitfalls and logs in the middle of the road and everything else. And you're not immune to this, and you're not immune to the thoughts that could come. That for some reason, this nobody don't care. Nobody don't care if I live or die. Nobody don't care if I prosper or if I do without. Nobody cares if I make it or I don't make it, if I'm happy, if I'm sad. But this is talking about something more serious than that. It's talking about the soul. The soul of mankind, that living part, that important part of you that's going to live somewhere or another. Now, there is an eternity. There is, whether we believe it, whether the world believes it, or the atheists deny it or not, there is an eternity out there. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and it's both forever and forever. And it's the home of the soul of man. And here he makes a statement, says they just don't nobody care about it. My, that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing to think about in this world that we live, that we care about everything else. We're concerned about everything else in life and in the world. And we get so upset about things and so tore up and concerned about a lot of things that are not going to amount to very much as time goes by. They'll not even be remembered. They won't count for anything. But then we're not very concerned about the soul of mankind. How pitiful that is. Now, I don't expect the government's too concerned about my soul. They don't seem to be. I don't think the world out here is too concerned about my soul or yours. They don't seem to be, not the way they're living and the way they're operating. And I don't think the Muslims, that they're too concerned about my soul. I don't think some of the other countries in the world that have come to where they hate America and hate Americans, that they don't even know our names or anything about us. They just hate us automatically. I don't think they care anything about my soul, Bill. They could care less. The old saying is they could just care less about me and about you. But I'm glad that that's not the important part. I'm glad whether they care or not, I'm glad that God cared about my soul. And he does care about it. He just didn't care about it. He does. He cares for my soul this very moment we live. Think about this with me just for a minute, and I'll try to preach and get done. as soon as I can, but God cared enough about my soul that he planned the plan of salvation. That's what it was for. The plan of salvation is not too concerned about my whether I prosper. It's not real concerned about, I'm not saying God's not, but I'm saying the plan itself of salvation is not the concern about how healthy I am or how wealthy I am or what status in life I might achieve or what trophies I might could win. The plan of salvation concerns the soul of eternity. And God cared enough about me and about you that he made a plan. He made a plan of the blood-bought way. He made a statement, said, without the shedding of blood, there'd be no remission of sin. Then he supplied not the bulls and the goats and the lamb, but he supplied the plan of salvation. Brother Jimmy was talking the other night about God's only begotten son and how we're the sons of God. He's the only begotten, but we're the bought. We're the bought, the blood bought children of God. We're in through the grafting. We're in through the inheritance. We're in through the will. We're in through the covenant of God, of the New Testament blood of the Lamb of God that was slain on Calvary, that give his blood bath for the salvation of souls. Now they may not care, but God does. I'll tell you what, the one that matters is the one that is God. And God planned salvation. God provided salvation. God provided our salvation because he cared about our souls. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That he provided, he not only made a way, he provided the way that we could come, that whosoever will could come. God cared. Don't ever make that statement. I mean, it might get to where nobody else does, but you're wrong when you say nobody cares for your soul. God cares. It's not, listen, God said, I care so much about your soul, it's not my will that any of you perish. It's not the will of God. It's not the mind of God. It's not the heart. You've not got the point that God hates you. You know, you can be a God hater, but that don't mean God hates you. You can be a rebel, but that don't mean God will cast you out. You can be a backslider, but God don't slide. You can turn your back on him, but he don't turn his back on you. You can walk off, but he don't. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God cares enough to stick around. God made a plan. And God provided that the plan could be fulfilled when his son died on the cross of Calvary. God made a plan. God provided a plan. And then God put a protection on it. God said, I'll save you and I'll seal you until the day of redemption. He said, no man is able. Now listen at this protection. What a plan. He said, there ain't nobody able to pluck you out of my hand. He said, I'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. And that's a forever book. That's not a temporary one. It's not one that changes with the doctrines and the moods and the ideals and the theology of mankind. That's God's book. God keeps a record in heaven. God's got a record. God cares enough to put your name down. God cares enough that he said, I'll know you. Listen, he said, I know my sheep. God cares enough to make you his possession. You're in. Because God cares. Or you can come in because God cares. Nobody can forbid you. Maybe nobody don't care, but God does. I tell you what's important is that God cares and that you care. Now, I'm supposed to. But if I don't, that don't stop you. Important thing is that God cares enough for your soul. Folks, I want you to know Jesus cared enough that as we sung about this morning, as you sung about this morning, he left glory. He left. You know, he's at the right hand of the Father right now. But do you know where he come from? Right hand of the Father. It wasn't brand new. That's not brand new doctrine. That's old stuff. He was there. He didn't just become in existence at Bethlehem. Look over there in Genesis. It says, let us go down and make man. That sounds like somebody's coming along. It sounds like somebody's going to have a relationship. From the very beginning, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. As far as God's concerned, he's the only hope. You know why Jesus died on the cross? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He cared. He cared enough to bow his head and die. Looking right at you. Oh yes, looking right at you in your pitiful shape. He was looking at you in your sins. He's looking at you in your failures. He's looking at me, a nobody, a nothing, bound for hell. Looking right straight at my life of ruin. I care about them. I tell you, you'd have to care about somebody to die for them, folks. You just think about that. Get down there with me. You might weep for them. You might go for them. You might do for them for a little while. But, preacher, when it comes to that, giving that life, they got to be something deep down in there. They got to be some love that I don't know if we can even comprehend. I guess a mama and a daddy might could comprehend it toward their children. And it'd still be hard to stand up and die for somebody else. Oh, it'd be hard to stand up and die for somebody like me. I wasn't kin to him. I was an alien. I was a stranger. An outcast, as a far off. All them lambs they had slain there at the temple, they wasn't none of them slain for my people. Every time that priest went in, once a year, he didn't go in there for me. He was going in there for the Jews, not for them Gentiles. I thank God that day on Calvary, that old temple veil had hung there 1,500 years, and there wasn't nobody dare to approach it except the priest go beyond that holy of holy place. Once a year, not for himself, but for the sins of the people he went in, and not without blood. And all the ornaments and all the tradition and customs had to be dotted. Every I had to be dotted. Guard, Solomon guarded it with the soldiers of his greatest force. You didn't go behind. You didn't approach this place. I'm glad one day on Golgotha's hill, the Son of God bowed his head, gave up the ghost and died. The veil of the temple, oh, down there at the old temple house, that veil tore from God down to me. And God said, approach the throne of grace boldly. Amen. Enter in. How come, preacher? Because he cared. That Jew didn't care for me. That priest didn't care for me. So he became my high priest of glory. And he entered in once and for all. Not without blood. He done it right. He went in there not with the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves. He went in there with the spotless blood of the Lamb of God that John saw coming at him and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He went in there and put it on the mercy seat and the altar. And listen, he done something that old earthly priest couldn't do. He sat down. Oh, you say, I don't believe that. I believe it. I believe he sat down in the mercy seat so I could obtain mercy. Not justice, but mercy. He didn't go back next year or the next year. He done it once and for all. Hey, he'll not hang on a cross again. He'll not go to a tomb again. He'll not be punished at the whipping post again. That's over with. He come as a sacrificial lamb because he loved you and cared for your soul. But one of these days he's coming back, King of kings and Lord of lords. And brother, he's going to come back because he cares for you.
Amen.
Amen. My goodness. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is he. That song ought to shouted this house out. We ought to tore the shingles off. Just thinking about them words. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus cares for you. The church cares for you. You say, oh, churches nowadays don't care. I'll tell you what, if they're paying the bills, keeping the doors open, ringing the bell, every once in a while they care. If it ain't just that old song they sung that last week about the model church. It was not built for show. It's the house of God. It's built to be known as a house of prayer. Soul winning station. Edification. Upbuilder and holder on and holding out. Oh yes, the church, the real church does care. She still prays. She prays and don't even call names sometimes. Just, oh God, save that old sinner. That's lost and bound for hell. That's caring. She cares. She has Sunday school. She has church. She has Wednesday night. She has Bible schools, revivals. The plea goes out. The hymns are sung. The invitation's given. That's caring. Church cares about the soul. You're wrong. You say nobody don't care. The problem is you don't. Be hunting your song, come with the instruments. Done all I can do. But people in heaven care about your soul. Your loved ones care that's done went on. And you can't bring them back. They ain't coming back to you. You can go to them. David figured that out a long time ago. Had that little old baby boy there. He said, I can't bring him back. He said, go ahead and get me something to eat. And let's get back to life. Said, I'm going to him. They care about you. So I want to tell you something else might surprise you. Hey, people in hell cares about you. So I don't get that. Don't get that part, preacher. Hell's reaching, getting there by the cannon. Yeah, but you remember that man that was in hell and lifted up his eyes? He said, go tell them. He said, send Moses, send somebody back to my house. Tell them not to come. You know, what he says, I don't ever want to see them again. I don't ever want to be around them anymore. Not if they have to come here for that to happen. Well, hell even cares. So, problem is, do you? Now, I've got proof. I've got Bible proof about this. Who does care for your soul? I don't care who you are, where you're at, what you've done, what you're into, what you're out of. God still cares. If He didn't, you wouldn't be alive. You're in a day of grace. You're in a time of mercy. Do you care? That's where it hinges, Brother Jimmy. What do you care? What's your concern? You got a loved one out here that's going to hell. Do you care enough about them that you dedicate yourself to their souls? Got a community that's lost. Will you dedicate yourself to the saving of souls? Paul said, I'll be cut off if you'll save my people. He said, you can blot me out if you can just get, if they'll just be saved. What a burden. Ah, he cared for his people. Do you care? Let's stand while we. That's right. Oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. You need to come. Come right now. Come for yourself right now. Come for yourself. Sang one other verse. Now I want to ask you to come for yourself, because you've got enough. You've got to care about yourself. Maybe nobody else does, but you're going to have to care about your soul. You're going to have to tend to this. It's something nobody else can't do for you. Well, we can patch up wounds. We can help in a lot of ways, but we can't tend to the soul of man. That's between you and the good Lord. I'm going to ask you to come on your own behalf. And then I'm going to ask you to come. You need to come on behalf of somebody else. Their precious soul. You mind the Lord's all I'm going to ask you to do. One more verse while we wait.
Are you disappointed?
Sure we do. All right, we'll pray. We'll pray for them. Mind the Lord. Come right ahead. Mind the Lord today. Not a thing wrong with this. Not a thing wrong. I tell you, prayer never hurt anybody. Prayer never hurt anybody. Are they worth it? Are they worth it? Are they worth another prayer? I tell you, if you want to come, you don't want to walk the aisle by yourself, just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, walk up there and pray with me. I want you to go pray with me. Come on, do that. They'll come. They'll do it. These people right here will come and pray with you. We're not going to talk about you on the porch. Well, we'll pray for you at the house. Do you care? Do you care? The Lord does. The Holy Spirit cares. That's why He's here today. That's why the Holy Spirit come meeting with us here today. Because the Holy Ghost cares. He's come visiting. He's given us an upper room. He's a comforter and a convictor, reprover of sin, revealer of Christ. There's a lot of caring going on right here from above in heavenly places. The world may not care one thing about you. They may treat you that way, but God cares everything about you. I hope you got something today. I hope you got something out of this little message.